Let it be known that this disclaimer is intended to make it clear any views and or opinions expressed on the Fox Paranormal Chat are just that. Any topics of discussion during a broadcasted show is in no way the exclusive view nor opinion of the host or any Web Radio Network staff. You're listening to the Fox Paranormal Chat on the Web Radio Network. And now, Michael and Destiny Fox.
Good evening, guys. Hope everybody's doing well. This is Destiny Fox.
Hey, everybody. This is Michael. Tonight, we're going to explore cryptids.
Yes. With an explorer.
With an explorer.
Absolutely.
That's going to be cool. We're going to be talking about cryptids and all kinds of stuff.
Everybody's doing well. Oh, let me turn the volume down. We are Michael and Destiny Fox. We run Fox Paranormal. You guys can find us on Facebook at Fox Paranormal. You can look us up on the web, foxparanormal.com. Also, we've started a Twitter and we have 4 big old followers because I didn't know what I'm doing. You can catch us on TikTok at Fox Paranormal 22. And I missed you last week, Michael.
Yeah, I was away on business. I had to do a work trip.
Right.
Went to Miami, and I didn't get to see a thing. It was work, go back to motel, and I was in bed by 9:30.
Mm-hmm. You better have been.
I know I've been.
Okay, just check.
Well, you know I was, too. You were on the phone with me.
Yeah, but after I hang up the phone, I don't know what you did right now. I'm playing with it. Yeah, he was away on a business trip, and he was working hard. We had Jeremy Leonard, the Cajun demonologist, filling in for you, and he did an awesome job.
I know. I listened in. He did really well. It was a good show last week.
Right. We had Rachel Warren.
Yes.
She was full of questions for him as well. So
I'm sorry. I missed Rachel. You know, I hadn't seen her. I hadn't talked to her since Vegas when we were at the Paracon in Las Vegas.
Yeah. Well, she's doing good. Can't wait to have her on the show again.
Yeah.
I'll make sure you're not out of town when we have her.
I hope.
But tonight we have a special person with us on our podcast, Chris Medcalf. He lives in Villarica, Georgia. He's a local to us. We've had some paranormal investigations with Chris. Chris is also our team's official photographer.
Yeah, he's done a lot of shoots for us.
He makes me look good when we take pictures. He works very hard at that too.
He makes us all look good.
Hoping that in the future we get to do some adventures with Chris. And Chris just bought a motorhome.
Yes.
Not a motorhome, a camper.
An RV, yeah, camper.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been following it on Facebook. He's getting ready to move in, or have you already moved into it?
We're actually still in the process. It takes a lot to downsize to a 26-foot motor, RV. So it's definitely a lot of work.
I imagine it is.
But it's going to be so much simpler and a lot of stress, off of us and able to enjoy more. Just get up and move whenever I want to.
Yeah.
Right. We went today and we looked at mini houses. That's what my son wants. And I went with the intention of pricing too, but those things are expensive. So I may be just getting one, but we're going to put it on our property and he's going to move out on his own right here in Mama's front yard.
Right.
So
nothing wrong with that.
Absolutely. That's how I keep an eye on him. But You know, there was something that I thought about today. I thought about Paulding County, which is a county, I don't know if it's adjacent to ours. I guess it depends on what direction you go.
It kind of is. But yeah, depends on what road you're on.
So have you heard about the werewolf that's been sighted in Paulding County?
I've heard rumors about it. And a lot of that's taken place in the area that I do investigate activity in the Paulding Forest, which is a wildlife management area. So it's untouched by any human activity in any homes or anything like that. It's thousands of acres of woods.
Yeah, I remember seeing a video that you had made where I believe you and Ashley had went out. You were in the truck. What happened that night?
We were actually was going to play the game, the Randonautica game that came out. And there was a big trend, but that, you know, come through TikTok. So we figured we ain't got the kids, so let's just go out and just play it and see what happens. Well, we started into the forest and we got our locations. We manifested our locations off of Randonautica. Started going through some of the back roads. And suddenly on one of the turns, our truck got hit by something. We heard a loud bang. We pulled off to the side with all the dust kicking up from the road and everything. We actually had some a weird handprint or some type of print right above my wheel well on the back side. I've tried to mimic it with my own hand. It was not my own hand. And ever since then, we've been just kind of going out there and really searching hard, trying to get some type of answers of what happened. And right. we're still kind of, you know, kind of fishy what it is.
Right. What do you think it was? Was the handprint bigger than yours? Or
handprint was bigger than mine. It was four fingers only, but one of the fingers was actually smaller, kind of like the pinky finger, but it was only four. But it was actually smaller and kind of oblong, weird looking print. So it was really weird. I took a picture of it and I posted it on Facebook and showed everybody else the result that we found, and I still have no clue what it is.
Right. Have you had any other experiences out there?
You always get something that's watching you out there. No matter where you're at in that whole entire forest, something's watching you. There is an old grave site on that property that is basically unmarked. I'm thinking there was an old homestead somewhere in deep in the woods, kind of close by. I haven't found it yet. Now that we've got the drone, we're able to fly over and locate some of these hidden spots that we can't actually gain access to.
Right. We've just added a drone to our arsenal, a drone and a nice little video camera. It's not the camera we wanted, but it's the camera that fit in the budget. But yeah. It does a good job. I was reading up on the Paulding County werewolf, and then I ran across this other story. It says, tucked away in Talbert County, Georgia, is the grave of Emily Isabella Bird, a woman widely believed to have been a werewolf. Like all good stories, this one has gone on to be legend, though one that is all but forgotten, except in the South. As the tale goes, the wealthy Burt family was prominent members of the town now known as Woodland. Unfortunately, the patriarch of the family died fairly young, leaving Mildred Owen Burt to care for her children alone. Rather than dote on them all, Mildred shipped her kids off to school in Europe, which should give you an idea how wealthy the family was. When Isabella, the shyest of the children, returned from Europe, her family began to notice that she was complaining of insomnia and slipping off in the middle of the night. Isabella claimed that she was going out for a midnight stroll, unable to fall asleep, but her mother couldn't shake the feeling that something wasn't quite right. At the same time, local farmers were dealing with a rash of sheep killings, which each night they'd be walking in the morning time into the fields only to find them littered with the mangled carcasses of their livestock, seemingly the victims of a wolf attack. Together, the farmers concocted a plan to end the slayings once and for all and started nightly hunting parties with the intention of capturing or killing the beast responsible. After weeks of failed attempts, the frustrated farmers consulted a strange old man from Eastern Europe. He claimed to know what they were up against, and it was no regular animal. It was a werewolf. And the old man instructed the farmers to melt down their silver crucifixes, fashion them into bullets. Then, by the light of the next full moon, they would attempt to hunt again. Just as the old man had said, the hunting party came across the silhouette of a giant wolf-like creature in the light of the moon and fired their rifles in that direction. One shot connected, and the creature ran off after letting out a painful scream. The attacks never happened again. Meanwhile, Mildred followed Isabella into the woods, eager to discover what her daughter was up to all night, only to find her daughter passed out and bleeding from her hand. It appeared that she had been shot. After the wound had been patched up, Mildred sent Isabella off to Paris, where she visited a doctor that specializes in lymphopathy. According to all the legends, she returned to Georgia a few years later, cured of her mysterious ailment, and lived out the rest of her life peacefully. In 1911, at the age of 7, Isabella died, and after much controversy, was buried on holy ground in the Owens and Holmes Cemetery in Talbert County. To this day, there are residents who still believe that her spirit, in werewolf form, of course, still roams the countryside on a full moon. So there, looking back, there is other stories about Georgia having werewolves. I found that amazing.
Yep. There's also, if you look up the area just north, I think north of Paulding County, about the white thing. There's a big thing about the white thing, which is a known so-called Bigfoot. There's been a lot of reports of that being in that general area where we're actually doing our research in that forest. So that's another thing you want to look up, because it actually gives you a lot of details, a lot of eyewitnesses, and detailed stories on how, you know, how they saw them and everything. So I think in that forest, with it being so, I mean, the only thing that goes in there is hunters. They hunt during seasonal. There's plenty of wildlife. There's plenty of things to eat. There's creeks, plenty of places to hide. So in that forest, I would not, you know, surpass the idea that there's something in there that has not been found yet.
So what do you think in the forest, Chris? You think it's a Sasquatch or...
The thing about the Sasquatches and everything, yes, I think there's something out there that has not been discovered yet, because there's discoveries made every day. Mm-hmm. There's been years and years and years of people trying to research this Bigfoot phenomenon. And of course, you get some videos, you get some fake videos, you can't tell what's real and what's not real anymore. So the only thing that we have an option to do is keep that in our mind as something exciting and something new to explore. So there's people still out there looking. They're trying to discover this phenomenon. But in my words, there's something out there. I just cannot say what it is. I'm not calling it a Sasquatch. I'm not calling it, you know, the naked lizard man or anything like that, you know. So, but there's something there. And there's not, for us to really stay out there for a long period of time, to know the environment, to know the trails, the tracks, or anything like that, you basically have to live on the land to know what's going on.
Right. I had a weird experience. I don't know what county this was. I think it's Harrelson County that's local to us, too. There's a little cemetery out there. What is the name of it, Chris?
Budapest
Cemetery. Chris is actually the one that told us about it. So we had been known to go out there, And actually out at the cemetery, we've caught the silhouette of a woman. Well, a team member caught a picture of a misty silhouette of a woman. It's we don't go out there anymore because you get that creepy vibe. It gets darker than dark out there anymore. And I can't explain that. I don't know why, but it's not like it used to be, Chris. I don't know how long it's been since you've been out there, but it's got a very dark feeling, a very dark presence anymore. But one evening we were pulling up there and I looked off past the cemetery up into the woods and I saw something walking, something big, huge, and black, and it was walking upright. I mean, I could see it as it took its strides, how its body would move up and down with each stride it would take. And for a while, I told nobody about this. Nobody. And I thought, nobody's going to believe me. Michael was with me, and I was pointing in the direction. Mm-hmm. Michael was looking everywhere but where I was pointing, but that's the way it always works. Mm-hmm. And then it was gone. I could see it moving on the other side of the trees. And I still don't know what that was. So for the longest, I told nobody what I had seen. And then finally, one day, I called Chris. I was like, Chris, I know you're the only person in the world that won't think I'm crazy, but I've got to tell you about this.
Yeah, I remember you calling me and telling me about that. And that's what intrigues me about, you know, with my expeditions that I do. I do a lot of expeditions. I go find a lot of lost and abandoned places. Places that have been forgotten about. Mm-hmm. And I do my photography on top of that to capture the moment before it's all gone. That way we have a piece of history on the internet or anything like that. I've got a piece of history of it. Mm-hmm. Now, by going out and doing my expeditions and finding these locations, we may be able to happen to come upon something that has not been discovered yet. That's why I'm saying we go out, we walk through the woods, we explore, we may find a Sasquatch location. We may find the actual evidence of an actual real Sasquatch. I don't know. Or some other type of cryptid, you know, animal. But it's all in that exploration of what you're able to find. What part of history are you going to be able to find? And bring that to other people. When I started doing my expeditions, I did it because of a woman. Her name was Lucky, and she actually had cancer. So she actually laid in bed, in the hospital bed, having chemo treatments with cancer. And she watched me just to be able to get the outside life to her. And that's what it helped me to keep going, because I was actually helping somebody else I didn't even know at the time. She just watched all my episodes or my live streams or whatever. So I kept going on and kept going on. And I have found some amazing places. I have seen some amazing things. And all right here in Georgia. And I ain't got to go but 2 hours away. I mean, as far as I've gone so far, I've gone a little bit further up in the Tennessee and the foothills of the Appalachians, which got some amazing spots to, you know, research. So I want to put together a team of researchers and start doing this and actually starting to get documentation of everything that we do and record it, and that way we can actually share with other people. They may think I'm crazy or, you know, hilarious. Of course, I'm not abnormal anyway, so why not?
That's why I love you. You're crazy like me.
Yeah. So, but other than that, I mean, that's why I'm going to really start hammering down. And once I get this move done into this RV lifestyle, we're going to, you know, probably start a YouTube channel on how to live an RV life and explorations and all that, you know, all together in one. So, but the expeditions and the cryptids and all that all ties in together, and plus paranormal. There's also a lot of paranormal places I go to that are absolutely 100% haunted that I know that I've been to, especially the cemetery out there in the Paulden Forest.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of graves got messed up out there because of a tree fell, knocked over a bunch of headstones. A few headstones are still left. But you got thousands of acres of old history. The Civil War came through there. The Trail of Tears, all that went through this area. So you got tons of history with paranormal linked to it. And that's why we go out there a lot, because there's so much to do.
Right. And where you're actually moving your RV is a pretty haunted area as well.
Yep.
We've investigated there. We recently did some stuff and things out there that I can't talk about, but I'll share it with you one day. Just waiting for permission to get to share this, but we did Cave Spring, Rollator Park, a lot of haunted areas there. Our team went out and investigated several buildings there, inside, outside. We did capture some very good evidence that Cave Spring is haunted. So we enjoyed that. It's not something we were able to continue this year, due to schedules and just stuff and things going on. We might get out there and do some more investigating before long, but early fall maybe. But it is a very active area because of the Trail of Tears.
Yeah, I'm going to be a mile and maybe a mile and a quarter from downtown.
Yeah, well, that's cool. Check out Rollator Park, though. The Boys Academy there is haunted. There's a church there as well. Well, you know the part there.
Yeah, I drink the water.
Legitimately haunted.
Yeah, I drink the water, so yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, that water is amazing, amazing. But go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, I've been following a lot of teams that's out doing investigations now for Bigfoots or Sasquatches. And it seems like, you know, there's a lot of sightings all over the world on Bigfoots. They're being seen in many different areas, but there's been a lot of sightings right here in Georgia. But what's interesting, and this is something you came up with here a year or so ago that you brought it to my attention, was the alien connection with Bigfoot. It seems like...
Okay, before we go any further, who do you think Bigfoot is? Where did he come from? Why can't we ever see him? Why can't we ever have good, solid evidence that there is Bigfoot?
My theory... It's hard to say because I don't believe in the aliens part of it. It's just hard to comprehend if someone's coming to visit us and we've got, again, videos of UFOs and other type of creatures that are coming supposedly out of space, and we have not. I mean, it's just hard to say. My theory is that if Sasquatch is real, I think it's from a orangutan based or gorilla based.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
maybe an interdimensional being.
It's on the low scale if it is. I think it's on another scale because on the orangutan and everything like that, when you're actually in the wild with monkeys, they're hiding up in the trees. A lot of them, only the smaller ones are down there wanting to play with you. The bigger ones try to stay hidden unless you're in their domain, then they protect your area. While the rest of the animals, you know, are on the ground, the other animals are hiding.
Right.
They stay hidden. So that's their natural instincts to hide until something is in their domain.
Right. One theory I have, if there are extraterrestrial beings that are coming in to Earth's atmosphere and paying us a visit. When they land somewhere or they set up a base or something, maybe Bigfoot is like their guard dog kind of thing, and you get too close, you know, the people say that they seem to squeal out to run you away from that area. They don't really try to hurt you. They just try to scare you away. What if they're there to protect something that's being hidden?
Well, if that's the case, I mean, if we're talking with an extraterrestrials that can come in our atmosphere cloaked or non-cloaked, or able to mimic themselves to, you know, camouflage, you know, themselves some way, shape, and form, why a hairy man beast? I mean, if they can cloak or get themselves invisible, we can't see them or camouflage and move about their own merry way, why pick some random hairy Sasquatchy looking beast that stinks? Yeah, you don't want to get close to something that stinks.
Right.
But protection. I mean, my theory is, like I said, it's just, I think it's something that we have not, no one has actually has got concrete evidence, and it's some type of animal that is actually in its natural habitat and knows how to hide, like any like snakes or anything like that. They're going to run them from you if they see you or get close to them.
All right. Ranger is in our chat room. I just went over there and he said, do you read this? Yeah, I read it. I just have logged in. I have to go through on Michael's phone because for some reason I can't get into Spotify on my phone. But yeah, I'm reading this. I know you're here with us.
But yeah, like I said, I'd like to get a team together. And since I'm off pretty much every weekend, now I can actually get out, try to get out and go do some more research of that area. There's a lot of places that I've not explored yet that are hard to get to, but you can walk it, but it's a long walk. I'm going to try to see if I can't find other options to be able to get some of the gates opened up where I can actually drive the truck in. There's a lot of forest roads you can actually drive for miles in there. There is a big lake down there that's hidden in the woods. Plenty of water features. So I don't see why not. There's something out there.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I want to go with you when you go.
Yeah, we'll definitely go. I mean, it's definitely, once you cross the gate, you get into the area, that whole area changes, especially at night. That place becomes freaky. And, I mean, like I said, it looks like there's a lot of people or a lot of things watching. So it's definitely a different feeling.
Why do you think, Chris, that nobody seems to be able to get a clear picture of a Bigfoot? Every picture I've ever seen posted or aired on television, it's always blurry.
Yeah, that's another thing I've always kind of figure out. We got all these nice cameras now. We got these zoom lenses. We got, you know, even if you hurry up and take a quick snapshot, and you still get a good, decent picture. All these other cameras seem like are old and just reused and reused. And a lot of these pictures are. They've just been regenerated over and over so much, the photo actually will deteriorate.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And not only that, if it is alien, they're probably throwing up a shield.
Yeah. Well, you know,
the Bigfoot people will love,
like,
what I said.
Skinwalker Ranch, you know, they've been doing a lot of studies there.
Mm-hmm.
And
do you watch that show?
I've watched it every now and then. I'll try to watch it when I can.
Yeah.
But
they're making a connection there, you know, wherever there's a lot of Bigfoot sightings, there's also seems to be a lot of UFO sightings. And now in Alaska, they're having the same situation.
And then I read an article, Chris, that said Georgia has had, I'll have to go back and find it and send it to you, said that Georgia is having more than usual UFO sightings. Now, our area is close to the airport, and we do see a lot of airplanes fly over, even out at the house out here in the country, on Center Point. Then, you know, we see planes this far out.
Yeah, and we're in the holding pattern for Atlanta.
Right. And yeah. At our house in Temple, you can sit on the back deck and just see them just constant in the sky.
Well, yeah, we see a lot of planes out of Hartsfield Jackson all the time.
Yeah,
that's we've actually one night I got a message on Facebook. So there's a bunch of strange lights in the air. Can you, where, you know, so I said, okay, where is it at? So they pointed, you know, or told me which direction to go. So I went out towards Fulton County again. But this time it was on the Hiram side. So when I got out there, I didn't see no lights. So, this is weird. I got to back to Villarica towards the over the interstate looking towards Atlanta. All the airplanes that were coming in from the east side after they deviated around coming in from the east pattern,
yeah.
All the lights were steady. They weren't moving. They were just sitting there until they got really close and they kind of veered off. So when you got two jets splitting to make that circle to come in and land, it looked like two different lights are splitting in the sky. So I said, okay, so let me go back to Fulton County on another night. Again, you'll see the airplanes coming in from the south. Same thing. So that's how I ended up debunking that lights in the sky thing around here.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, I heard anything else about it. Now, for North Georgia, I've not been up there enough to say what I see, but I tell you where I do stay, in the Cohutta Wilderness, it's magnificent. The views are amazing. You can see for miles. I wouldn't be surprised you see something up there that's out of the ordinary. Yeah, I mean, you can see the International Space Station like it's just a bright white ball just, I mean, out of the sky like this, like no other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful and peaceful up there, and it's so, there's nothing out there.
Right. So, and there are some, and I'm probably going to have the FBI knocking on the door after I say this. Something, there are some strange things that go on in our area. For example, I see a lot of military vehicles going up our road, going from our house, and you know the area where the property is here in Carrollton, going from here, then cutting through, going to Bremen. I pass these trucks or I get behind them. I've even seen one with a tank on the back. They seem to go out Cashtown Road, turn off, and they're gone in the area of the church that you took us to that time where the blue lights are.
Yeah.
There's no way they're turning in that area, all these trucks, for no reason.
Well, it is strange. I mean, I know the only reason they'll be coming out of the south, excuse me, would be coming out of the military base down there in Columbus, coming up this way, going through Rome. It may be a quicker ride for them and more safer to get up towards Chattanooga. So, I mean, that's the only option, only logical explanation I know.
Yeah, so, but to turn out a dirt road, that
turn on dirt just, road is a different story.
Exactly. Because you know, that road turns into a dirt road.
Yeah.
Out in the area. So that's, I think that's kind of strange.
Yeah.
It makes me want to follow them. And I see them a lot in the mornings when I'm going to work because I work in Rottmart. So I see them all the time. And then they'll go down by the house here like a convoy. And then I'm telling Michael, there's too many military vehicles here.
Yeah.
We don't have a military base here. There's no reason for these trucks to be doing this. One was a big 18 wheeler pulling a tank, had it on the bed. You see them pulling Jeeps,
yeah.
Two or three Jeeps, you know, on one load. And so I don't know.
I don't know why they'd be going out.
All this could even be connected. I mean, yeah. I don't even know. It's crazy.
Well, there is, I think, a National Guard armory over by Rome.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah.
So, but why would they get rid of steel? Why would they go down a dirt road?
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Because, you know, there's been conspiracy theories, you know, forever about the government being involved in this stuff.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Yeah. It's everywhere.
That's
it's everywhere.
Tie it in. I mean, do they know something that we don't about Bigfoot or UFO?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think they're more your National Guard. They're just here to protect the state, you know, unless they get deployed overseas or something like that. But for their government secrets, that's up there somewhere in the bigger leagues, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you know, there's been stories the government's been involved in UFO investigations for many, many years. You know, the Area 51 thing, and, you know, there's been other things, you know, over the years that's come up, you know, about the U.S. government being involved. But it seems like, you know, even, you know, the story of the Mothman, There was a military spotted in that area when that was a lot of investigation.
Yeah, a lot of military testing. Now, you do know that we have a nuclear testing facility in the state of Georgia that has been abandoned, and it is open to the public.
No, I did not.
No, I didn't know that either.
It's an abandoned nuclear testing facility. And they tested nuclear reactions to their airplanes, to vehicles, how the vehicles will react to a, you know, something that's connected to a nuclear explosion.
Mm-hmm.
And the building that holds the reactor is still standing. And you can walk up to it.
So it's not active? There's no radiation? Well, of course not, or they wouldn't let people be going
in. It is sealed off to the building, because the reactor is still underwater because of flooded the section where the reactor is actually at. It's actually, if you look up the nuclear reactor testing facility in Atlanta owns the facility, but it's actually north of Atlanta in the forestry service up there in, oh, God, I forgot the name of it. But I'll have to send you the link. But you can walk through the whole property. It's a park. And there's been a lot of, there's been reported murders there. A lot of paranormal activity there. A lot of sightings at night for different type of creatures. So it's something you might want to check out, because I am going to go up there and do a research in that facility.
Sounds like a Six Flags for their whole
investigation.
So we definitely need to get together and go on now. That'll be a very cool one. Because
a nuclear reactor, you know, that's a lot of energy, you know, and paranormal activity feeds off of energy.
Yeah.
Now, the connection with cryptids, you know, I'm not sure about yet. I know a lot of people's tried to make this connection. I know cryptids, you know, and you know, the Mothman or the whatever, you know, the Bigfoots, that all falls under the paranormal umbrella, as being paranormal. Anything that's not normal is paranormal.
You want me to throw a little wrench in there?
Go ahead.
Right behind the reactor is a lake where fish and everything have came out deformed.
Oh, I've heard about that at West Point Lake as well.
Yep. So there's a lot of history with that. So, because it's right behind the reactor, you can walk up to the and fish from there. Of course, like I said, the reactor is a huge building. There's a lake.
That sounds generous. It really does.
And I'll have to, like I said, I'll have to send you the link. Dawson Forest. It's in Dawson Forest. So you can look it up and you can find about the a lot of the history on a lot of the murders that took place there. Bodies have been found, a lot of paranormal stuff, all in Dawson Forest.
So do you have any investigations in the works that you're planning on going to that we'd like to hear about?
Once the move is all settled and I'm actually located in one, you know, one area, I am definitely going to set a multi-night research stay in the Fallen Forest. That way we can set up and actually stay there, have a campfire and start, you know, and pretty much go out and research and explore. So that's on the books. That's going to be my first one because I want to know what hit my truck.
Yeah, I saw the video. Yeah. Or picture. I know, I think you did post a video.
Yeah, I did a video and a picture.
Well, I think, you know, you do a barbecue, maybe you could have a lot of salad because I hear, you know, Bigfoots are vegetarians.
Right.
So,
Well, yeah.
So invite them over for the barbecue. But I did hear, you know, on television here a while back, his real name's Bob.
No, it's Daryl.
Or Daryl.
It's Daryl.
Yeah, Daryl.
I'm bringing some jerky links.
Slim Jims.
Slim Jims.
Yes. We've done a few paranormal investigations together. So let's see, you're a provoker, so to speak.
Yes, Chris is a provoker.
Yeah. Well. And why do you think that getting, I don't know, why do you use that method when you're paranormal investigating?
A lot of times the negative activity or the negative vibe that you can put on would actually energize what's out there and maybe be able to show itself. Mm-hmm. You know, I use both terms, but I use the negative side because what is the main thing that we go in for paranormal activities? There's a negativity in the household. There's an issue. Use the negativity to keep it going. So right. We can actually get our, you know, documentation.
I learned something in our paranormal investigating about provoking. I've never used that, so to speak, but I found out when we're dealing with negative energies, negative spirits, even demons, I've learned that you've got to be forceful with them and you've got to be stern and you got to stand your ground. So, you know, I really learned when it's okay to really be forceful, you know, because if you're dealing with a negative energy like that, a negative spirit, then you've got to be in control of the situation or it's going to control you.
Yeah. Well, you got to know your surroundings. You got to get that vibe to know what your limitations are to that surrounding area. And plus the people that you're going to be interacting with, you just got to know what your limitations are and what you can push and what you can't push. And you get that information when you talk to your clients or the location that you're in. If you know it's really, really dark and there's no one living there or whatever, I'm going to push the boundaries. And I'm not scared. You know, let's fight. Let's battle it out because I want to know what you're able to do. Show me proof. And you can use my negative energy to be able to show me that proof. Other than that, I'm just going to go on my merry way and go find a happy. Go Lucky Casper, and we're going to talk about it.
There you go. I remember early in our career, that was the big thing I wanted, just to see spirits, feel them, use the spirit box. I was so fascinated that of the possibility that spirits could communicate with us. And then as we went on, it's like, it was fun. It was a hobby. It was just an enthusiasm thing. Just, oh, look forward to this. Yes, we're going to go talk to some more spirits. We're going to catch something on video tonight. We're going to get pictures. I just know it's going to be good. But then there was a time when I realized, now, wait a minute, this is not for me anymore. You know, the thrill wore off a long time ago of paranormal investigating. Oh, my dog. I don't know what she was grunting for. The thrill wore off, and then I got more serious-minded about paranormal investigating. And I realized, you know, we were helping people sometimes just by telling them, okay, that noise you hear in the kitchen is just your refrigerator. You know, that noise is just something in your ductwork. You know, a lot of clients don't like it when you tell them, hey, there's really nothing here. But when there is something there, being able to help them, we've done investigations where we've had to teach our clients how to coexist and kind of nudge the spirits into saying, hey, look, you know, y'all are going to have to share the space. If you're not willing to leave, then, you know, y'all coexist here, mm-hmm. kind of way. And that's probably been my main focus. I'm all for running those negative spirits out, though.
When I had my paranormal team, we had fun. It was all new, all cool. And like you said, it was all the excitement of getting out and going and doing something.
Yes.
And now when there's going to be a lot of people bashing me here in a little bit, but TV show of paranormal investigators that came out and they came blowing up all over the TV, and the things that you see on there, the things that just kind of makes your mind go, dude, I'd do the same thing and nothing like that's ever happened. You know, that's just something, it kind of threw a wrench in my toolbox, like, I'm not interested no more. They got all these people doing it. So I kind of backed away from the paranormal. Everybody else, you know, can go do, have their groups, go do their, you know, do what they need to do to help people or do whatever they need to do. Let me get myself into something new. Let's go explore. Let's go find something that can connect history with the paranormal, with the cryptids, and, you know, in abandoned places.
Right.
Bring all that together.
You're so like our local Josh Gates.
Basically, yes. So, basically, yes. I mean, that's what I do. I mean, I want to take all that and put it together. And that's what I can actually make something interesting, because I can teach the history of a location, bring back the past to all these new, you know, to the kids that are growing up now that don't even know what a telephone was that was hanging on the side of the building, you know. We can bring some of that information back to the kids these days and make them more interested, not only in history, but also the paranormal and the unexplained.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. My whole focus now in what we do is helping people. We got drug into a little deeper than we ever wanted to ever go in the paranormal when we started. We took a demonology class, and I really felt like it was time that we learn more about the subject and become better equipped for that, because as a paranormal investigator, the chances are very high that sooner or later you're going to run into a negative energy. And we were kind of pushed into it. I mean, as soon as we finished the class, as soon as we got our first exorcism come in.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure what you ran in with us one time. I don't know what the hell that was over at a place one time, one night. It was actually the case where you picked up a bug zapper and realized, hey, this works in the paranormal too, because you actually had a spirit communicating with you with the bug zapper. It would touch it and it was far. There was nothing on the bug zapper.
Nope.
But it was touching the bug zapper on command.
Mm-hmm. And I got three of them things sitting in my garage.
So you ready?
I'm ready. Now, that's another thing. The paranormal world evolves every day. There's something new that comes out. It's always a scientific exploration. They're scientifically making stuff new about every other day to try. Mm-hmm. That's cool and dandy. I mean, I like the idea. I mean, because before you know it, we might be able to catch a ghost. Never know.
Right.
But, I mean, that'd be cool, and I'd be able to put on a proton pack and run out there with a hearse or an ambulance and catch ghosts. I'd be in like a dream world, you know?
And get green slime all over you.
Exactly. Mm. I'm more like an Egon, I'm telling you.
Yeah. I would like to do one paranormal investigation and just use old school baby powder, wind chime, or a friend of ours that's in the paranormal actually put a ping pong ball into a jar and put the jar out on his investigation. And sure as the world, he was getting responses for that ping pong ball in the jar. You know, I mean, the cost of that versus,
equipment. You know why?
Why?
Because the old school ways is the people who we're communicating with don't know this technology stuff. They know that if they step in some powder, it's going to leave a footprint. If I move this little ball, it's going to move. They know the easier, simpler task in life than it is to try to throw all my energy that I have manifested up just to be able to talk to you into the thing, just to say, hey, and go away.
Yeah. That kills me is when I'm watching TV and a paranormal investigator is going into a place that's never been investigated before. They take a K2 and they just walk in. Can you light this up, please? Well, you got to realize maybe they've never seen a K2. Explain to them what it is. And I have learned to do that. Hey, this is, we call it a K2. And if you move close to it, these lights light up. The closer you get to it, these lights begin to light up all the way over to red. Can you make this light up? And I've gotten better responses on investigations explaining what the equipment is and how they can communicate with us through these devices. And so, you know, it just like you said, if they're not familiar with the method you're using, then they can't communicate with you. Exactly. They have no.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's just that, of course, you can go into a place that you've never investigated before. You didn't have time to do a basic line sweep of all the areas of the electrical wires, hold of the wiring in the house. How much EMF are those putting out? And so you can get all the false readings in the world and not actually getting anything.
Right.
I mean, they just don't know. If you're doing your basic, hey, let's roll this ball and make it move. Okay. I use a little bit of energy just to move that ball. I'm happy. You know I'm here.
Right. So. We've actually used helium-filled balloons.
Mm-hmm.
We investigated a home where a little girl suspectedly was being haunted by another child ghost. And in her room, she had helium-filled balloons. The air conditioning wasn't on. The heat wasn't on. I think it was a little cool. It would have been heat at this location that time of the year. But nothing was on in the room. Nobody in the room but Michael and myself. And the balloons would move on command. Can you move it to the left a little more? It would go to the left. And as soon as it would move, say, now take it back to the right.
Yeah.
And the balloons would move to the right on command. So we actually used those helium-filled balloons to communicate with the spirit that was there.
You put the little glow sticks in them, too?
Yeah.
No, We haven't done
that. No, we haven't done the glow sticks. I have seen people use the glow sticks.
Yeah, that's a good thing to use. You can go to Dollar Tree and get those for a buck, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Get a big old pack of them and go put them in the balloons and let them sit there at night while you're sitting there rolling your cameras. They move while you're gone. You can actually see the light move. So that's something to look into.
But I think you keep it simple, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Simple things to move, and you might get more reaction out of a spirit than, you know, some of these high tech equipments that we have today. My dad used to have a old thing he used to say all the time. He says, keep it simple, stupid. You know, keep your investigation simple, and then you might get more reaction, you might get more contact.
Right.
Yeah, well, that's what I've bared down to. I've got one K2 meter. I've got a infrared thermometer. I do have cameras, but, you know, the camera I use for doing photography, if I put my shutter speed, you know, for 30 seconds or even up to 30 minutes, something's going to move in front of that camera, and it's going to take all the light availability that comes into that lens. Anything that moves in front of that camera is going to catch it, mm-hmm. because that camera is, you know, because that shutter is still open, it's catching everything in the movie. That's how we do lightning shots, how we photography, you know, lightning. But you can do the same thing with the digital camera and set it up where a higher ISO bring in more light, and you'd be able to catch those, anything that runs in front of the camera. And you can actually have that on a remote trigger switch, and you can just hit the switch, move away from the camera, and won't even know you're there. So that's how we do our light paintings.
Yeah.
So, I've not used it yet on an investigation. I would like to do that one night on a paranormal investigation to see how that would work and see if we can be able to catch anything that way. Because I've yet to see anybody use that method.
Right. That sounds like it would be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Do you have an active team now, or just solo, or just family?
Basically solo. Ashley will come once in a while if she'd be able to get someone to watch the kids. But other than that, I'm basically solo. I do want to put together a special team of investigators, researchers, and explorers. So the main goal is to find places that no one else has been to in a very long time and go find it and find the history on it, and do, if there's any hauntings or anything there, then this, when you bring in the paranormal team, mm-hmm. and you can help them out and go from there, kind of work hand in hand together.
That's kind of cool. Go into a place and then you see. That's just like my son goes into these homes and he does some work. It's like, okay, he finds out you need a plumber, so he calls a plumber in because he's there exploring the place, trying to find all the problems. And then he reaches out to, or if he needs a drywaller, or if he needs whatever, then he knows what direction to go. And that's pretty much what you do, I guess, what you're saying. You go into these places, and then if you see the need to pull in someone else on the paranormal or someone who specializes in cryptids, that's kind of what you do?
That's basically what I do. I go in and find these places, research it, find out all the history about the land, the home, or the business that was there, and turn around, and I'll get together with the other teams and let them know what I found, take them to this place. I'll be there while they're doing their investigation. If they need help, I'll jump in.
We've got just a few more minutes. If anybody is listening and you have any questions for Chris, you're more than welcome to post them in the chat room. Now that I have it pulled up and I can monitor it, I can't comment in there, but I can look at it. So going back to what I saw in the woods, is there any black bear sightings in that area? Because that bothers me to this day, because, you know, that was my first and only experience with something like that. It did appear to be black off in the distance.
That'd have to be a pretty good sized black bear.
I think so. Is it a 6 foot black bear?
Yeah.
I don't know. It was pretty tall for me to have seen at that distance. I'm telling you. I saw something. I don't know what it was.
I think so, because if you see a 9 foot black bear, me and you and Michael are going to go make some money.
There you go. There you go. I hear you. So if people have something going on, if they live in a wooded area, can people call you to have you come out and look their property over to see if you can see anything out in their woods? Or
the best way to contact me is through Facebook Messenger. Just look up Chris Metcalf and just add me as a friend. I am working on a new site to start all this, but I got to interview a bunch of people when I start getting them in to start getting a team put together. And that way I can get this new site going and just kind of start working from the bottom again. It's nice to start over fresh and clean. And that way you know what you're looking for in people after you've been doing it for so long.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. We did have a person from Florida call us about their parents that lived off in an area that was highly wooded and said that they had seen a creature that, and he said, "You're going to laugh at me, but my parents don't lie," said that they have actually witnessed seeing a creature that looked pterodactyl flying over their property. So we were going to take that case too. I don't know how in the world we were going to do it, but
an egret or a crane?
That, well, it could be, because there are some big birds, like those, I think, Michael, what do you call those big old birds that we see over in Temple?
And buzzards.
Like, yeah. Is that what they are, buzzards?
Yeah, like yeah, chicken
those things are huge in Temple.
Yeah, we got the, of course, we got the egrets and everything right in the lake behind the house here. Those things are big. Yeah. But they got a big long wingspan on them as well.
Yeah.
In Florida's ate up with them. But other than that, we should definitely get together and go hunt some unexplained stuff.
Exactly. I know Michael would like that.
Yeah, we've been talking about getting into more of the cryptid side, just out of curiosity, because, you know, there's been so many people that we've encountered over really this past year. You know, mm-hmm. we've, you know, been asked to do all these paracons all over the country and talk to people, and so many people are getting into the cryptids, you know, investigating cryptids and stuff, and it's really interesting, you know, some of the stories they're telling us.
Exactly. Well, Chris, we hope you get down to Delville, Alabama for a day or two of Deep South Paracomicon. Mm-hmm. And I think I said it right. Stan will be so proud of me.
I think you said it right. Yeah,
I think I did. We want to thank you so much for being on our show tonight.
I'm honored. I'm glad to be able to get on and talk to y'all and see y'all again, because I haven't seen you in so long.
Oh, I know.
Since
it.
Our
you
last
photo,
and that's been a long time ago. I like you taking pictures for us. That's awesome. You're also a photographer. They can reach you. Do you have a page for that?
I do. It's Chris Metcalf Photography on Facebook.
Absolutely. So if you're local here, or he don't mind traveling a little bit, I'm sure that adds to the expense of your photo shoot. But
worth it. Yeah, mm-hmm.
It really is a photographer. And we appreciate all the stuff you do for us and our team.
Not a problem. I enjoy it. It's basically family.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You'll always be family to us. I know Michael thinks a lot of you here.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun investigating.
Oh, yeah. It's been interesting.
We'll have some adventures one day, I'm sure.
All right.
I'll be calling you to reset up our photo shoot, too, that we had to cancel. Right. Maybe I can get these young'uns rounded up so we can actually get it and get it right this time.
Sounds good. I'm game.
All right. Thanks for being a guest on our show. Until later, everybody, peace and love.